Here's a juicy thought. So whenever you're feeling stuck, whenever you are aware that you've lost that forward momentum and you're not living out of flow anymore, it just means that you've hit the walls of your current cage. And I so believe this about you, that you are made to bust through those walls over and over again. And in all this wall smashing, you're going to grow strong and wise and gracious. I'm Ange Miller, and this is, I didn't see what episode I'm up to. An episode from my podcast which reminds you that you are the art. And today I'm sharing a recent conversation that I had with Canadian artist and wife and mom, Christelle Celestino Wirtz. Christelle has become a dear friend of mine. She signed up to my Art to Heal a Heart membership a couple of years ago. She's a longtime member and recently just come through my Abstract Refinery small group coaching program. I feel really blessed to have had this conversation and really excited to share it with you now. I think you'll be blessed. There's lots of nuggets of wisdom and inspiration, motivation. Welcome, Christelle. I'm so happy to be doing this with you. It feels like such a treat. Thank you for agreeing to it.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is so, so exciting.
So we crossed paths, we were saying, about a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When you joined my membership class. And now you've just finished my premium small group coaching in the Abstract Refinery. So I would love to hear, what was it that drew you in? Well, first to the membership, and then I guess it's just an extension drawing you into the group coaching.
I think the first thing that drew me in was the name of the course. So it was Art to Heal a Heart. And I think it came through Instagram at a time where I was on my healing journey. I had my son during the pandemic. So the peak of the pandemic, when everything locked down the first time, that was when I had my son. And then through that, I think I had to like really reevaluate a lot of my being, and which I think a lot of us did because we had the time, which gave me the opportunity to think about what do I actually want in life and how do I want to go through it. And that time where we had nothing else to do but be in our homes and be in our spaces, I think that pushed me to start my healing journey. Having my son during the pandemic and having young kids during the pandemic was so hard because it just pulled so much of my energy for them. And I want it to be for them. Like I was definitely, this was something that I had chosen and it was such a gift and I wanted to put my energy there. But I was starting to lose, and I think I had lost my voice prior to having my children too, because I was listening to the voices of everybody else, believing that they had wanted the best for me, when maybe not necessarily they wanted what was what I wanted, you know, because I didn't even know what I wanted because I'd never sat in that space or never ruminated in that feeling of what do I actually want and like what do I actually love and who am I. And so like I think the voices of other people were trying to guide me in a certain way that they thought or perceived, but it wasn't actually aligned with my heart and soul because I'd never really told anybody. So during the pandemic, I was like really feeling it and starting my healing journey on realizing how unself-aware I was and how I was really just floating through and just going through the motions of life because I had thought that this is what I had to do. So during that time, I had gone through some kind of postpartum depression, and that was really hard because coping when you can't cope normally during the pandemic, like my coping is to be out in community with people experiencing, talking stories, sharing stories, sharing support. and idea
Yeah, connecting.
connecting. Like that is, I found out that during the pandemic that that is truly my being, and that I am, I guess, an extrovert, quote unquote, for that, and that I like sharing energy. So I started trying to find different ways to do that. And Instagram, because your phone, hand, you're in your home. And I guess the energy and Ange just called, and I don't know, you just landed in my page and in my vicinity. And I was like, oh, art to heal a heart, that just sounds like a hug. Like that just sounds amazing. And I was like, yes, I would like to heal my heart. So I started just following your page and like the beauty that was there, the paintings. I was like, oh, I want to paint like that. I loved your styles, the colors. It just like drew me in. But then what really drew me in to like step into the membership was when you started talking and you talked about like the magic and the energy, and you talked of a feeling that I didn't know I wanted and was craving for in my life. And I was like, it was like you were speaking to my soul. And I was like, oh, yes. And it was like the first time I had heard it in a really long time, and that I had resonated with another being. And I was like, yes, okay, I feel it. And I'm going to move in that direction. So I was still super resistant. And I think this is what took me through this journey. Like sometimes your resistance just kind of keeps you in check a little bit. And so I was just a follower for so long. And then I think you had posted.
Could you say a bit more about that resistance? How did it manifest? What were the thoughts?
Yeah.
Or beliefs?
So it was along the lines of like, oh, Ange has a bazillion followers, I won't be able to connect with her. And like, you know, she's all the way in Australia. She sees beauty. She's by the ocean. That's where I want to be. And she's doing all these things. And at this point of, I guess, my artistship, I had never called myself an artist too. So I was still very creatively blocked. And I was just starting to explore that and kind of slowly open that door, right? And slowly like peek in. And it was a peek, it was a glimmer into what I could do. And I loved it so much. And you just kept coming up. And I think this was a time when you were doing reels upon reels and like sharing. And so you were popping up tons. And I was like, oh, I can't ignore this. And I just loved it so much. And it fueled me in a way that I hadn't felt in a long time. So I was like, okay, I really need to see this through. Yeah. So then when I finally decided to move from just watching to actually doing and becoming a member, was I started the Artist Way for the first time. And so
book by Julia Cameron.
And
brilliant book.
I had a friend invite me into her group, which kind of opened the door to a community. And community, like I said in the beginning, was something that I so value and that I just need as a person. And I think that we all need it as people. And
yeah,
like I never, yeah. I have this belief that we were never meant to go through this world on our own. Like there's a bit, like,
I agree.
How many people are in the world? We can do this all together. And that those ideas of competition, trying to put one against the other is I feel like is starting to become old ways, and that the new ways of thinking are starting to come about where we can support each other, and that there is room for all of us, and that
yes,
we can all compliment. Yes, we can all succeed, and that we will all succeed if we all like help each other.
And I think that starts with simply knowing what you have, what you are, and what you are holding. Most of us are cut off from that, and so we rely on competition and this external measure, this outward standard of what's excellent or desirable, and we're working so hard to put that out and then compete about it.
Yeah
And so we just completely lose touch with the magic that is already there inside, just waiting to have some oxygen to go off.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, that's just so rich.
Because,
I love hearing about your journey
oh, thank you.
and what you notice and the, yeah, this is treasure already. And it's just been incredible just seeing you coming out of yourself, 'cause I think that you'd been in the membership for a bit when made a video, or perhaps it was in the live Zooms that I think you started joining the live Zooms that we
Yes.
have monthly in the membership. And that's when I just started hearing the way that you were speaking. And we just resonated,
Yeah.
didn't we? We just
Yeah.
kind of like, vroom, we always had it coming to us,
We
this
did.
connection.
We did. Nothing
And
was going
isn't
to
it
keep us apart.
beautiful? That's right. And that's just the truth. And it's so interesting that at the beginning, how you were talking about the objections, the resistance, how opposite to the truth that is.
Oh.
Because you're like a sister to me.
Oh.
But at the start of it was like you had something inside of yourself that was in denial of the possibility of what could actually be. And so there's this self-exclusion that is cutting you off from what's potentially, or what's just waiting to grow. It's just there.
Yes.
Love it.
I remember, I think I did the membership. Because the thing that you did differently was, I think I had messaged you through DMs being asking you a question on something, and you returned it back with a voice note. And it was like, if you're in Ange's like membership or anything, or if you just hear her, like Ange just speaks truth so much, and it's always a gift to hear you speak. So like the like I think it was like a 30-second voice note just like welcoming me into your community, like saying thank you for the question, and then genuinely like helping me through that question. And I was like, oh, this felt nice. And like I just was like, that was so great. Like you, and then that broke down the idea of, oh, there's a separation between you. And I was like, no, there's not. Like she's an artist.
There's not.
She's a mother. I'm an artist. I'm a mother. Like, I was like, she just showed me that I could do this. And that was like pushing the door open even more. And yeah. So
I
then.
don't always do that. Just so you know, like if you join my membership, I don't always reply with a voice note, but I'm so glad I did that day. I'm really glad that I did. And I'll actually take that on board and try to do it as much as I can,
Oh, but
because that's it's efficient.
it is. And
It's a bolt of energy.
it's nice hearing people's voices too. I
It
feel
is.
like I think you've shared before where maybe it's a reel on Instagram where they say that the vibrations within our voices can carry through the universe. Like I feel
Yeah.
that. And I think
Can
that's
be felt on the opposite side of the universe, can be resonating.
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like your ripple, we've talked about our ripple before, but your ripple is so big and you don't know how expansive it's going to be. You just have to share who you are and what you have and be open to that. That openness can open doors and bring
Yeah,
you
that's
to a
right.
different realm. Like if there is something that you want, it is there. It's never said
It is there.
it's not. It's just like, how are you going to get there? There will probably be obstacles, challenges, and things, but you can
But
figure it
those are
out.
appropriate.
Yes.
Those are actually appropriate to create the kind of channel that is going to withstand that incredible thing that you're dreaming of. I think straight away of Alice in Wonderland and how when she first got into Wonderland, no one recognized her as being the Alice that was prophesied to slay the Jabberwock. What was it? Not
Jabberwocky.
the. Oh,
I can't
can't
remember.
remember.
Like stand up to the
Or is
queen?
it?
What is that?
Oh yeah, but
Yes.
she slayed the big beast. Maybe it was the Jabberwocky.
I
I think
don't
it is.
know.
Anyway,
Maybe it is.
let's just go
I
with
can't
it.
remember the story now.
But all the way through, there are people saying, "You're not the real Alice," and she doesn't even know what she's supposed to do. But when she starts to connect with the characters there and see the injustice,
And she starts to realize that nobody is going to stand up for this except for her, with her own passion and what she can perceive. And she accepts that challenge and starts to move in ways that are risky and courageous. Then they start saying, now you're starting to look like Alice. And she does slay the Jabberwocky.
Yes.
You know, and it's against all odds because she's this tiny little thing. But she has, you know, she's got the right weapon.
Yeah.
And I think that is it. There's so much significance and symbol in that movie that just gives me the shivers.
Oh my goodness.
We've got to step into the truth of what we are and use the obstacles and challenges and things that you would perceive as a disadvantage. You use it to refine yourself so that you are becoming that thing that is the right energetic match for the desire of your heart. And the incredible thing too is that even the desire itself becomes refined. Because I've told this story before about what I thought about what I wanted to be. It is coming, but it's so much more than that, than what I had in my head, because that was more of an ego projection. But the more that ego is put in its place, it becomes more about the collective, and my heart beats for the collective and rising up an army of people who know who they are and aren't sharing their energy with things that are destructive, or like putting out those destructive ripples. Because if we don't know who we are, it's not like we're not rippling. We're still sending out ripples, but they're destructive, confusing, delaying ripples.
Yes.
So,
and it comes as like huge resistance, right? And it's like when you try to build habits and you're sitting there being like, oh, this is so hard, right? It's because like the clarity hasn't come yet, and those resistances, like you have to be open to those resistances.
Acceptance. Yeah.
Like I think before I did the mentorship, the group mentorship, I had a call with you just to talk about the mentorship and what it would look like. And I was like, oh, Ange, I really want to do it. I don't know where my practice is going. And like you had suggested and called me out on my discipline. And at first I was like taken back a little bit. I was like, oh,
how rude.
No, not rude, but I was, no. Like, I was like, ooh, yeah, it like hit a chord, because I was like, yes, I know I have to be more disciplined. But to like hear it from someone who I know is like being supportive and is like if you do this, you will get to the other side. Like mm-hmm. It's hard, but like I'm here to walk with you, was basically what you said in that mentorship. Or like,
yep.
And I was like, okay, I can be brave, and I think I can do this. And if I can't, then Ange's gonna be there to help me through it. And I was like, yes. Okay, like we all just need a little bit of belief in us. And I think that when we believe in each other, it literally will bust open doors and yes. help us be our truest self. So, yeah.
Again, with the community.
Yes, community, sharing ideas, being supportive of one another, and a shift from competition. Because yes, I do believe competition is still healthy, because I think it will bring up standards and levels mm-hmm. and that, but realizing that we can all level up together and keep bringing up standards for each other, you know?
Yes.
Where we're competing.
A quote comes to mind. Yeah. I'll have to look up who said this, but it was in this idea of competition.
Yeah.
You've just got to watch out for, like, because the ego wants to win, and it doesn't mind how much it has, as long as it's more than the other person. So it's not even about attaining a certain standard of excellence as much as it is about having more of it than somebody else.
Mm.
That's the problem, because it's excluding or separating, dividing people instead of bringing the collective together. So community is about the unity, and competition is good as long as it's still supporting community. Does that make sense? I just wanted to add that. Sorry.
Oh, no.
You can keep going now if you can remember what you were about to say.
No, that's I so believe in that too. Even in our Facebook, the new group Abstract Refinery that you are doing right now, I feel like the community is growing, where it's just like a supportive nudge to each other saying, you can do this. It's hard, but we are here. We will help you. We are in this together. And
there's these nuggets of wisdom that each individual is bringing now that we know that we're standing on something precious and unique.
Yeah.
Because that was our first port of call in the Abstract Refinery course, is to build out this really strong foundation of, this is who I am. I mean, that's always going to keep compounding the whole, you know, throughout your existence, but this is who I am, and this is what's precious, and this is what I need to bring. And once we understood that, now everyone seems to have these pearls of wisdom to bring.
Yes.
And they'll pick up on quotes and songs and things and come and share it with the group. And it's just so, it's all just knitting together, just weaving together. And it, oh man, it makes my heart sing. I get such a boost looking through that feed. Just seeing how everyone's contributing and building.
Oh, it's construction. Such an exciting community. And like, I'm behind on posting, but I'm like, I think it'll be okay if I post later on, because and like, I think that's a really cool thing about the community, is that everybody just holds space for each other to be brave for where they're at. And I think that's a testament to you and your practice of growing this mentorship, because this is now your sixth round, larger. This is your larger one, but like sixth round of doing this. And like, this will be my second time going through it. And I can see my growth from the first time to the second time already.
Right.
Just in the
beginning.
So
the first time was as the small group coaching, and now the second time going through the program is as an online course.
Yeah.
So I'll just clarify that for listeners. I did six rounds of small group coaching where my clients just, there were groups of up to four, and my clients had access to online demonstrations that were available to watch. But most of the teaching was through Zooms, live Zooms. So now all of that compounded teaching and instruction is all laid out as an online course that goes for 12 weeks. And it's, oh yeah, it's powerful, because I'm already seeing really high quality work coming out of people that thought they were just unsure of how they were actually going to go in this. And a lot of people are surprising themselves, and that just lights me up.
Yeah, it's really cool, because like, even so in my journey, when I first started this, we did a podcast recording. And
so we did.
In this podcast recording, I could hear how unsure I was about anything I was saying. And for whatever reason, this podcast
It was
gone.
Still beautiful. It was still good stuff. But I it's a long story, but I lost my edited version, and I didn't have the heart to edit it all again, because I'd taken out all the ums. And Christelle, you haven't had any ums. Well, not any that I've noticed this time around.
Yeah. And that is honestly because of the foundational work. So with doing the artist's way and really honing into a lot of ideas for myself and moving through that, plus doing your foundational work with my art practice and merging the two, I found my voice again, and I found my confidence. And it's funny, because I was always like this. Like, as a young child, I was always that boisterous, confident, like I was out there kind of person. And along the way, I just lost it, because I don't know why I lost
it. External, the external being imposed onto you, and you, well, this, I'm just guessing, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not
it's
wrong.
It's that idea that you've got to measure up to an external standard. And so the voice gets buried, and the energy gets, you know, it just goes to sleep.
Yeah. It's just dormant, but your being is there.
Never gone.
No,
never
it's
lost.
Never gone. Just waiting.
It's never lost.
Waiting for the right environment for you to sprout out again. And
yes, waiting for the rain.
Yes. And I feel like I just finally decided that I was going to take up space. I was gonna stop playing small so that I was like, no, this is going to be it. Like, my husband took out my kids' playroom, cleared it out.
Bless him.
Made me a space.
So supportive.
And he said, you are not you when you don't paint. So here is your Aww. Space. And I was like, okay, well, if you believe in me this much, I need to match that belief because that's it.
Brilliant.
Right. And so I started in here and I started painting, and it's now so expansive. I have so many ideas and so many, like, my dreams have gone from just wanting to paint to doing way more than that. And
yes.
It's so exciting. But yeah.
Yes. Well, we've been talking lately about running workshops and teaching and possibly even doing online courses.
Yes.
Which I just am your biggest cheerleader. That's what I could hope for anyone to know who they are and then share it, then spread it.
Yeah,
that's expansion.
You've totally helped with that. And I feel like your teaching just nourished all those parts of me that were like quiet for so long. And I was like, okay, I can't ignore this anymore. It's way too loud. Like, my insides are way too loud for me to ignore it. If I ignore it, I actually get grumpy. So
yeah, that'll like, teach you.
Right?
Your hubby knew that.
He did, because I think he feels the repercussions. Yeah. But
please, for the love of God, Christelle, go paint.
We're all better when I paint a little bit.
Yes.
But like, that's
because it reminds us what we're made to be.
Yes.
And we don't have to freak out. We don't have to panic.
No.
We become that thing that's capable of being in unity.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of obstacles that I had to go through. And like, there was a lot of frustrating moments, like a lot. And I think I've talked to you, Ange, through the group coaching about this, where I was like, I feel so frustrated in this moment because this next thing that we're doing, I'm so afraid of, or I have so much resistance to it. But that's the part where I was like, okay, I just need to lean into that a little bit more and that I can do it. So like my advice is, if you are at a moment where you're struggling or you feel frustrated, my teaching background will tell me that the learning, that when you're learning, that frustration is actually because you're learning something new. You have to do things that you've never done to become the person you've never been. So that's why it's hard. But if you continue with it and you show up consistently for yourself and you keep trying, then you're going to win and you're going to keep going, right? And you're going to keep growing. And if we have that growth mindset, then that growth mindset will help open up so much.
Everything, the whole world opens up.
Yeah.
And everything becomes possible. And things that you wouldn't have dared to dream, you find are actually pretty close now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I just, it makes me so excited. You have told me before just about the rich heritage characterized by risk, the choices that your mother had to make. And I wondered if you could share that with us and share about how that has affected you in not only just in your life journey, but in your art journey too.
Yeah, I will definitely share about this. It's really funny that you bring it up, like the synchronicities of it, because I did a surprise live last night and I didn't think anybody would be on, but so many people were on. And I talked about her as my why. So there's always that question of, why are you doing this? Why are you becoming an artist? And for me, my why is my husband, my kids, my mom, and my dad, and myself. So I'll start with my parents because their story actually leads to my story. And then we'll roll into that more. But so my mom and my dad are both immigrants from the Philippines. My dad immigrated here 30 years ago when my mom and dad decided to get married. But before that, my mom, when she was 21, decided to immigrate from the Philippines to Canada as a 21-year-old who had limited education, limited resources, limited funds, limited knowledge of the cold winters here. Like, she had a choice of the or moving from the Philippines to Canada or Philippines to Hawaii. And she moved to Canada, which I love, and it's great. Just, it's cold. but being 21, she took a risk, and she wanted to change her family tree, her family lineage, and change the opportunities that that would entail. And she took that risk for us. And I can say that now that she's lived here for 40 plus years, she changed our lives literally by making that choice and doing something so difficult with so many challenges and being resilient through that, that it brought me to here to be able to say, I have a dream and I want to go do it. So to me, like, anything outlandish and crazy, I'm like, I can do it because my mom paved a way to say it is okay to dream as big as you want and that you can do it. And so to me, that is truly her legacy, and that I want to continue that for my kids one day and for them to look at me and say, oh, mom did what she dreamed of. And then my hopes is that they can see that as a role model and say, if I have a dream, I could do it too. And my hope is that for anybody who listens to my story, that maybe they can resonate with that, because we all have that in us. And that, yes, we all might need support, or there might be barriers or privileges that some of us have that others don't, but there is a way. There is always a way. And my motto this year is, we will always figure it out together. And I keep trying to go back to that, that it doesn't matter about the timing. It doesn't matter about all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, in my head, I know that somehow we're going to figure out whatever problem comes up or problem, obstacle arises, and that we can grow from it. And that's really how I've started to lean into our life. But yeah, so the why of my kids, I want them to see me going after my big dreams so that one day they can as well. And my students as well, like, being a teacher, I would always tell my kids, like, go after, like, the things that you love, like, go do it. And like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm like, okay, I gotta go do this too and give what I say a little bit more backing. So yeah. And then my husband has his own big dreams, and I want to be able to support him the way that he supports me. So, and that's why I want to step into making it more of an art business instead of just a hobby. And I don't know, that calling just keeps getting stronger and stronger of wanting to share and build a community as well.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that when you do take those risks and step out the way that your mother did and the way that you're doing with making a career out of your creativity, it's what you learn in the process of that with your blood, sweat, and tears. The things that you advise other people to do, if you're not doing them, then your words are just hollow and they become more of that external pressure that made us so confused about who we are and what we're doing here and kind of disconnected us from our inner truth, that beautiful spark that's inside us all that just goes to sleep if we're not listening to it, not acting out of it. That's brilliant. Yeah, I love that story about your mom. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking again about her.
And I love the synchronicity too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got to check out Christelle's Instagram, because she's doing, well, tell us about this, what you've challenged yourself to do.
Sure.
Because you were feeling afraid. Because
I was feeling afraid. I started talking about my art. I was finding it very difficult to do. I think this idea kind of came about when we were reaching the end of our small group coaching, and you were starting to ask us, like, okay, what is your artist bio? Who who are you? What is your artist statement? I was like, Ange, I have no idea. I don't know what to say. I don't have words. I like paint because it just like tells its own story. And then I started to like really sit in that idea. And I was like, is it actually telling it its own story? And I was like, maybe not. Like, people can interpret things how they want. And that's the beauty of abstract, is that everybody's going to see and feel something in it. But then I was like, why am I actually painting? I have a story to tell, and I want to be brave enough to actually tell that story and then have people have their interpretation of what I've actually said. So in that, I was like, okay, how do I get better at telling stories? And then so I started trying to write more, and through our practice, journaling has been a thing that has helped a lot. I felt like I'm not, when I write, I just ramble and it's just on the page. And to me, when I read it, I was like, this doesn't make sense. And I feel like I'm a better talker because of being a teacher. Like I'm good with talking on my feet. And I was like, I like that. So I was like, okay, what else can I do? And then I listened to a podcast. She is an American. Her name is Bonnie Christine. So I'll give a shout out to her. And she was talking about like, when you reach something that's hard, you just need like 10 seconds of courage and then you go through it. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. 10 seconds of courage. I can do 10 seconds. And then from there, I was like, oh, 10 seconds. Okay, maybe I can do like 10 minutes of courage. And so that rolled into doing lives, because I once had a friend who had said, if you want to practice an idea, like if you do it on live, you can't delete it. You can't like edit it. It's just there. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just start doing like a 10 minutes of courage live, and I'll set a timer, and then whatever happens in 10 minutes, and I'll just shut it off. And so I started a series called 10 Minutes of Courage on Instagram, and it's me talking for 10 minutes. And it also helped me figure out how to create space and schedule in time for my art practice with my children, because I'm a stay-at-home mom of two young kids. They're 2 and 5. And so carving out that time, like I need it to be scheduled for them to know and for me to know. And so we were growing in this practice of, okay, kids, what are you going to do during this time while I do this time for 10 minutes? We have 10 minutes. And we figured it out. And yeah, being able to talk for 10 minutes to the vast internet of whoever is watching has helped. And I think that's where it helped cleared out my ums and my self-doubt, because I was like,
yeah, the hesitation, second guessing.
Yes. Because as a teacher, I never had ums. Well, not that I would know, but I was a very confident speaker, and because my profession had led me to be like that. So I had tons of practice in public speaking, and I had missed it, I think, and I hadn't practiced it in a while. So the lives, I think I've done like 13 lives now, and they've just helped me find literally my voice again, and who I am and how I like to show up for myself, not for anybody else. I think this is another thing that I've also learned, is that I have been validating myself more than trying to find that outside validation, because growing up in the world where Facebook and Instagram, where I was like all for the likes and all for the comments, that really played on my psyche of my confidence for so long. And now I'm like, no, I just need to do this for me and be happy for it, for me. And I think that's what the lives did too, was it helped me realize I'm proud of this. I am still going to put it out there. And it helped me show up for me to do what I wanted to do and have space for me. And that was the other thing. It was like, I was like, I want to create space for myself. And I felt like it was a way for me to do that. And I'm hoping for others. Like, I want to invite other people for lives and open doors for other people or peek in doors for other people. And yeah, it's actually really fun.
It's big, isn't it? It's huge. Yeah. And you probably would not have been able to imagine that for yourself a year ago.
No. A year ago.
So that
I would be
that just
so
proves
scared.
Your courage is growing, making space for you. What else? What else has happened that surprised you that you couldn't have imagined for yourself a year ago?
Making a website. So this, at the beginning of the small group coaching, Ange was like, okay, so we're going to go through the 12 weeks. And at the end of it, there's going to be collection. And I'm going to release like you and your collection to my audience. And I was like, oh, great. That's amazing. And she's like, yeah, and if you have a website and like where people can get information, that'd be great. And I was like, huh? What? So I had always wanted to do a website, but I was so technologically blocked by this website. Like, just the act of doing it scared me so much because it does. You're stepping into a new realm. Like, I felt like it was me really saying, I'm going to be an artist. I am going to make this my career. And that scared me because I was like, there's all that self-doubt and self-talk and societal talk about artists. And I was like, oh, so that all started rolling in. And then the fear rolled in and I had to like really break it down. But then the paintings, like I started just painting and those came and it was fluid and I was able to just flow through those. And I was like, oh, I cannot just hoard my paintings anymore. I think I saw it on an Instagram. Who was it? Inspired to Write. I can't remember what her name is, but she was like,
Amy.
She was like, stop hoarding your art. It just needs to be released. And I was like, okay, I see you too. Okay, I will stop hoarding. Because that's the thing is I have tons of art. And I was like, it is just now taking up space here. And like with my young kids and our family, I was like, okay, I need to like declutter. And part of the declutter is not hoarding my own art. And I do need to set it free and just let it be in the world and share that part of me. And yeah, so now that's what I'm doing. So creating the website was super hard, but having a timeline to it and knowing that it would be released through you for all of your members, I was like, okay, I don't want to just not show up for Ange too. Like this is me also showing up for you. So I was like, I need to give her my all because she's also giving her all. So like that reciprocity in our relationship was there. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna figure it out. And that's when I was like, okay, in January, I really like gave it my all and started saying repeatedly, I will just figure this out. I will just figure this out. And like every obstacle, I just was like, I'll just figure it out. I will figure it out. And
I will figure it out. Oh, that's powerful. That's a little bit like the mantra that I got from Kerwin Ray recently in one of his online free things. He teaches, I guess it's just motivational kind of speaker for coaches and small business people. But he said, when I feel afraid, I take a step forward. When I feel afraid, I take a step forward. And that was very powerful for me just to say that a few times for myself and feel something rise up in me to meet that. Like it wasn't that I was pulling something in from the outside and trying to impose that onto my psyche. It actually awakened something that was dormant, like what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It was already there inside of me and it came up and said, damn straight, when I am afraid, I take a step forward, you know, and it started to really rise in authority.
Yeah.
Just in my being. And I enjoyed seeing that. And now I almost look out for opportunities where I'm feeling afraid just so I can keep exercising, taking a step forward.
Right? That's how I feel about these obstacles too, because I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's just like, let me at it.
What's the next thing I can figure out? Like, yeah. Can I figure out quantum physics? Maybe.
Woo! Bring it on.
Oh, so amazing. Who was the motivational speaker that you got that one
from? Cohen Ray. He's an Aussie. His account is pretty big. But I discovered him because he talks a lot about this same mindset stuff.
Yeah.
And my ears pricked up, and so I followed him. And I actually didn't even know that he had programs for coaching in business.
Yeah.
But he does. So I'm actually going to go to a 3-day live event with him in July.
Ooh,
yeah.
Live event. So yes.
And I had to be very courageous for that because I'm going to go and work intensively on my business, my marketing. And it's kind of embarrassing because, well, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and July, but I'm not a totally organized person. And I've got a few ends to tie up, loose ends to tie up at any given moment. There's a whole lot of loose ends.
Yeah.
And that can be a source of, I guess, it's shame. Yeah, I do tend to feel shame because I am measuring myself to where I'm perceiving that I should be.
Mm.
So it never leaves, does it?
No.
Like I've conquered it with a canvas, and now I've got to conquer it with my business.
That is huge to share. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that.
I've just got over keeping anything to myself now because part of it actually immobilizes the thing that you feel is holding you back.
Yes.
It's almost like without you voicing it with your mouth, it has more of a hold on you. And when you do voice it, you start to get feedback from other people. They say, oh, I had no idea that you would feel like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that, but I didn't think that you would. And then it's unity. It's just creating more unity. And we are together. Yeah. We are together in this, and we don't have any reason to feel afraid. So it strips that shame and that belief of the holding power and the pattern. So probably after saying this now, because I actually haven't said that, and now I'm saying it on a podcast. I haven't said it, and so now when we get off this call, I'll probably go smash something that I've been avoiding for so long because I've just immobilized that. It's like intimidation, intimidation of it.
Yeah, you're being courageous to step into the hard things and the things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh gosh.
So vulnerability is so important for us humans.
Because it helps you get to that next level. You shared in your stories once where sometimes you believe that you're just going in circles and circles and circles on some idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're actually doing is if you spin it sideways and look at it as a 3D model instead of a 2D model, you're actually spiraling higher and higher, just like a parking garage where you're going, taking the next levels, and that we don't actually ever see that until we shift that perspective. Like that was a huge aha moment for me when you shared that. I was like, oh, this is so brilliant. How come I could not have seen it from a different view until now?
Because we're programmed to think in terms of linear stages. And so it's difficult for a lot of us to think in terms of multidimensional, like things represented in multidimensional format, but yet that's what life is.
Yeah.
there's just layers and layers upon layers. I read somewhere recently that they were talking about dimensions, and you know how we're hearing a lot more like in, you know, any quantum kind of language, how many dimensions there are, 5, 7. This person was saying that there's 12 dimensions and that it can actually be represented in sacred geometry. And I don't understand it, so don't ask me any questions, but there's something inside of me that just did a little high five with that idea.
Yes.
Because we just don't know the half of it on this side of things, and that's why it's so important to step in, even though you're afraid and even though there are great risks. There's so much more inside of you that's going to rise up to meet it. And the only way to awaken it is to move into those experiences, put yourself into that situation.
You always talk about giving yourself the opportunity to experience. And
yes, that and was, to respond.
Yes, yeah. That was a nugget that I like held really deeply. I was like, okay, if I just need to experience something, whether I like it or I don't like it, that's going to tell me a lot. Because if I don't like it, then I can say, okay, I'm not going to go down that route. And if mm-hmm. I like it, then I'm definitely going down that way. I think I told you before where I was like, I'm the type of person who, if I was to go to a clothing store, it would take me hours to like comb through the clothes and be like, oh, do I like this? Try it on, take it off, try it on again. And it would be a whole day outing. But after you told me this idea, and where I started to really journal and come to like, what did I like? I went to the store one night and I only had 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, I like this, 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 this. And then I didn't even try on fully all the things. And I was like, I like these, I'm going home, I'm done. And within like 30 minutes, I was done and I had all my clothes. And I was like, wow, the efficiency of this, this is so amazing. I was like, okay, if I could just say I like things, maybe it will increase my efficiency and I will just be able to move through it a lot quicker and not give myself a chance to second guess myself, you know?
Absolutely. Because I think it's that practicing preference seems to engage your intuitive function, mm-hmm. which cuts out a lot of that second guessing and hesitation. You just go, yep, yep, yep. And you just have the authority of your intuition. See, you can use these things everywhere across the board of all the different facets of your life.
Yes. What's the other thing?
Holistic. Take my class because you're going to spend less time at the shops and not waste your money on things you don't like.
You're going to save money taking my class. You will.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, has your husband noticed since he set that up for you and said you're grumpy when you don't paint, go paint?
Yeah.
Like, so now we're, what, a couple of years later. What's he, tell me, how's he feeling about it all now?
Oh, he loves it. We were talking about it last night and the way he looks at me when I speak, I can't even explain it to you. He just, I can tell that he sees and feels the sparkle in my eye. And he looks at me like he is so proud. And like, again, weird synchronicities because we were literally talking about this last night. And he was like, it's just so beautiful to watch you do the things that you were always meant to do and to show the world the person who I always knew. Because he, right, he's my closest being. Like he is my everything. Don't tell my children, but he is my favorite person. Even over them. So like to just hear that from him was just really cool. And like him and I growing together as well, because like I said, for me to go after my dreams has now also rippled to, for him to be like really look inwardly on what his dreams are. And so he's like, okay, I'm gonna match your energy now, because we just keep matching each other and keep growing and keep going with each other. And like, again, don't get me wrong, marriage is so hard, just like any relationship. You're always going to work at it all the time. We do argue and we have conflict, but at the end of the day, I sit there and I'm like, you're my person, you're coming to the end with me, because you have to.
Well, it sounds like you've found a way to be both showing up in a way that everybody's winning, because you being the youest you and radiating out your authenticity with courage delights him and energizes him. And he's affirmed in his choice of you, you know, and vice versa. So we can't go wrong if we just grow in becoming who we just are. Just unfurling that into our field of influence and just building each other up.
And like,
oh, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking about him. I really do believe that your influence, we are meant to influence each other. And like, whether you're going to influence a spouse or a child, you never know who you're going to influence with your story. And that if you don't share your story, you're actually withholding this gift from the world. And you may never know the ripple that you cause or the person that you're going to affect. And that validation may never come back to you. But if you don't share it and open it up to the world, you'll never know. And that person may just stay blocked, you know, without that openness. And so that's kind of how I see the energy exchange. As a science teacher, I like believe in mutualism, right? Like, and like that we can work together and that we can all benefit from our exchange of energy in some way.
Absolutely. And because we're actually all one, there can't be one of us suffering and everyone be okay. We all suffer. If one of us is suffering, we're all suffering. So it serves you to have that ripple out, to know who you are and be active in your own authentic unfurling and courageous in that. This is how we heal.
And that is why you called your membership Art to Heal a Heart.
Heart. just tell me, Christelle, who would you say that membership is for? I'm curious to
Anybody who is searching for a deeper practice in self-awareness of who they are and wanting to use art as their practice and show up for themselves in consistent and habitual way, like grow that habit, and someone who is ready to do hard things and that will welcome the challenges and say, I might feel all the feelings, awkward, scared, nervous, afraid, but I'm gonna come here, especially in this community, and be brave and be able to move through that. And
I'm tired of things not moving.
Yes.
I want to get to the other side of something.
I want change. So people who are ready to make and feel that change. I also believe that you could tell someone all of these teachings, but if they're not ready to actually receive and action out the teachings, like they're just going to remain stuck. So like you need to come to any practice, any lesson in life, whether it's school, lessons online, any type of teaching that is going to come your way with an openness, because it is something, again, that you've never done or in that frame. So to become the person who you've never been, you got to do the things you've never done.
And let's see it.
Honestly, everybody.
I love it.
Everyone could value for it.
It's to help you find your style too. So I've been a teacher at uni, there's a lot of different mediums and styles and things, from observational drawing to intuitive art making. But it all has that angle of helping you identify your preferences that just are what they are inside of you, to draw out that unique identity and affirm your intuition, strengthen that amazing thing that we all have that's just lying latent waiting for it.
This has been such a gift. It's a gift in so many ways. Oh, I can't say there's so many good things.
I really appreciate your words, and I appreciate you coming with all your heart. I appreciate you trusting me and actually moving with the advice that I gave you and seeing the transformation that was always available for you. So thank you. Thanks for coming on this podcast and having this chat with me. It's been incredible.
Meeting you has been so great.
See, isn't she lovely? And in the time that's passed since we recorded this podcast, Christelle has been busy building community on her Instagram account. She does, I think, weekly 10 minutes of courage where she interviews other artists, and she's just so beautiful in her community building. And I take such delight in seeing community come together. Hats off to her incredible hubby, who sees her, believes in her, supports her, delights in her,
Because we need more of that in this world. Yes, we do. Oh, we need it. The other thing that I just wanted to talk about before we wrap up properly that we didn't touch on in this chat is Christelle's breakthrough during the Abstract Refinery coaching. I think it was fairly early on, and she was struggling with juggling, being a mother with two young children, and finding the time to really focus on her art the way that she wanted to. And the two were in competition with each other, and that struggle was breaking her heart. You know, she couldn't obviously not be a mother, but then that yearning and that longing to pour into her art, that wasn't going to give either. And I remember her coming, you know, in a bit of stress, saying, well, I've got these small children and I just don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to carve out the time that I want to. And I remember we had just been talking about being where we're at authentically and drawing from that, drawing energy from that, looking again. So if I'm comparing myself to somebody who doesn't have small children and I'm thinking that I need to work the way they do to be successful, then I'm going to be discouraged and I'm going to be frustrated and possibly even exclude myself from fulfilling my dream because I just don't have that same space in which to unfurl. And so maybe it's not for me and maybe I just have to wait. But the truth is that if you pull it back to where you are, there is great beauty in this time. When you are being a mother, yes, your time poor. Yes, your focus and your energy has to go primarily into your small children. And it is frustrating when it comes to working on your art, particularly if you've chosen for this to be a potential career and you want to build it up. So pulling it back to where you are, right where you are, and thinking, okay, so I have these two small children. Let's just make them part of it. Let's not have a struggle and a competition. Let's let it not be one or the other. Maybe I will let them in to my process in a way that isn't going to be too chaotic. If there's even such a thing. And Christelle found some beautiful ways to involve her children in her art making. And I know just from my experience, having small children and giving them art supplies, giving them paint and giving them free rein, if you can watch them in their process, it will give you so much more than you could imagine. They are masters at spontaneity. They're masters at abstraction. I always called age 2 to 4 the golden age of abstraction. So just having them there in that space and drawing on that energy. And it does take some releasing, it takes some surrender and some letting go, because they're going to make messes and they'll probably wreck, quote unquote, wreck their product. But it's a beautiful reminder to pull away from the product and immerse in process and let it be that. Let it be free, let it be spontaneous, and let it be us. Whoever is here, whatever age you are, just let it be this. And the energy that you will draw from that, just being present and grateful in your situation, your circumstance, there's no telling what will flow on from that. So I hope that that is an encouragement to you, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation. It's difficult to understand on this side of things, but the resistance that you are facing, whatever blocks, whatever obstacles you are facing, are actually perfect for you. Like I said, it's so hard because some people have obstacles that just break my heart, and it's difficult to say that. And I'm just speaking from my own experience that what has developed in me in response to the obstacles and my will to find a way through and to be creative and resourceful and to believe beyond believing, you know, that there is a spark inside of me, that I am stronger than this, that I will find a way through. And it's going to be all the more beautiful for having been so sad. It is. I believe it. I believe it with my being, and now I believe it with my blood, sweat, and tears. Yes. I've posted links below. Links to the Art to Heal a Heart membership, which is currently open, and also to Christelle's website and her Instagram. May you be nourished by this podcast. And if you are, please do share it. Consider leaving me some stars on Apple Podcasts or a review. We've all got a duty to share what feeds us, you know, to multiply the goodness. Those things mean a lot. Thank you for listening. Peace on your heart. Peace on your home.